And welcome back. Joining us now in another CNBC exclusive to share his thoughts on the international financial system, what's right, what needs to change, Sir Evelyn D. Rothschild. Evelyn, nice to have you on the program. Thanks so much for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me.
You know, I read your op-ed and I thought it was so apropos in this period, and you went through all of the people who are to blame for what has gone on, and this is a broad group. Can you take us through your observations, given the fact that we've seen this global situation? Of course, Gordon Brown in Britain was very quick to take a stand and try and offer solutions.
Well, I think hindsight, as some people say, is an exact science. I don't believe that there's time talking to you to go through the past. I think what I'm interested in how we deal with the present and go for the future. And I think that, if I may say so, I think the Group of 20 meeting was very important, because it brought out the realization that we're all in this together. And I think Gordon Brown did a remarkable job in pointing out that you have to have action, and the action needed to be taken very quickly. But, you know, politicians will debate, and they will debate, but I think that we have some very important principles if capitalism is going to continue for the benefit of all.
A lot of people are worried that, in fact, capitalism right now is being threatened. You've got the government in the United States owning 80% of AIG, owning Freddie and Fannie, in nationalizing those companies, and, of course, investing, taking stakes in the major banks. Is this something that you're concerned with?
Well, I think that you had to face up to the fact that you couldn't let these people collapse, and you've now got to realize that you've got to get the better system going. And here is one of my main thrusts, and I think regulation is important. What has happened in the past is that you haven't had the regulation supervised. You know, it's very easy to have regulation, but you've got to have the supervisors. Two things. One, they have to know what they're supervising and understand what they're supervising, and they have to have the chance to have action when they decide that so-and-so or an institution isn't behaving correctly.
So in that vein, do you think then that it's a positive that they're looking for an auto czar, a car czar, to sort of police things once the autos get the money?
Well, I think that's a form of supervision. And I'm amazed that in your country, or here in the great US of A, you haven't put more supervision into the institutions where you put your money. We in England, the banks, have been very much taken over by the government in some measure or another. The chairman have been removed, the chief executive has been removed, and they are watching very closely how they behave.
Isn't it interesting that you saw the government come in and rescue Citigroup, and yet the management and board of directors remains in place?
Well, maybe that's a reason for that, which I wouldn't know. But I think what is important is that we've got to go ahead for the future and for the next generation and the generation after it. Capitalism is going to become a very important factor in our lives. You've got to make sure that people understand, first of all, that directors are well-versed in what they are dealing with. I'm ashamed to say that I think a lot of people in the banking community, which I was some time ago involved, and I gave up banking 4 years ago, but I think that the important thing was for directors to understand, and the people working in the banks, what they were doing. I mean, this gearing that went on in the banks, this extraordinary measure of financial acumen which was used without people understanding.
So let me ask you this, as an investor, you know, I mean, clearly your family business over the years, as you say, generation to generation to generation, has proven successful throughout all of those generations. As an investor today, faced with all of this upheaval that we're seeing globally, how are you investing? How do you see the marketplace today with the fundamentals clearly deteriorating around the world and the global markets in disarray?
Well, in 2007, I took the view that this is going to get very bad. And I personally, I'm telling you, I'm invested in government bonds. And I'm very pessimistic for the moment until we see what's going to happen next year. But I think that it's very easy to point out how you're placed in investment at the moment when you have lost a great deal of money. Where do you go from here? And I feel sorry for, which we don't talk about a lot, is what's going to happen with the pensioners. Especially in my country, they're in trouble. I believe they're in trouble here. You have a name for the pensions. And we have to face up to the fact that there are a lot of people who have lost all their savings and who are going to be faced with a terrible problem of feeding their family, dealing with the problems of day-to-day living. And I think that is where the problem is going to be the greatest.
You're talking about pensions as well as 401k plans. I think that's what you were referring to. And some companies now are deciding they don't want to match the 401k money anymore for individuals, making it that tougher. So what signs, as an investor who actually saw something negative happening a year ago and really did, you know, save your own personal money and certainly the family, what are you going to look at, red flags, that give you a sense that perhaps we've gotten through the worst?
Well, we happen to know whether we've gotten through the worst, as you put it. I think what one's got to look at is you've got to look at very sound investments. And you've got to look at companies and organizations that have really not done some of the stupidities that have been done in the past. And you've got to really understand the management. I think you go back to basics. You know, one was brought up to believe that one didn't have huge overdrafts, that banks were not geared at 70, 80, 90 times, which some of them were, and that in the case of investment, you look at things that are worth investing in. Obviously, the market will depend on whether it goes up and down with the attitude of the people concerned. But I mean, if you take raw materials at the moment, I mean, how much further down will oil go, for example? On the other hand, if you're very safety conscious, you hang on to your gold bars.
And of course, with oil having dropped the way it has, you're seeing those oil-rich nations who were, frankly, the money players around the world, whether it's the Russians or the Middle Easterners, buying everything from real estate to yachts and cars. They have been quieted quite a bit. What can you tell us about the environment in the UK, the environment around the world, really? You're traveling all over the world in terms of the economic fundamentals today relative to the United States.
Well, I think it's very difficult to say it around the world. I mean, each country has its own problems. There are those countries that were very hit by inflation and have had to control it. There's countries which have problems with the workforce. And so you've got to look at each one. In the UK, we're unfortunately at the moment, we're getting more people going out of work. Unemployment is increasing. We're going to have to find ways of helping those that are less well off. We have the housing problem like yourself. It's not, obviously we're a smaller economy. And it's going to have to be very difficult to convince people to reinvest because money is going to be short. So small businesses, which is the key. Let's face it, the world is made up of small to medium-sized businesses. I believe in this country, it's a huge number of small and medium-sized businesses that make up the backbone of the United States. I mean, you're talking about the auto industry. It's the suppliers to the auto industry that in some ways are more important than the big manufacturers.
Right. Which is part of the reason, I think, that you know the government felt that it couldn't go down. Final question here. Do you have optimism that once we get through this, that perhaps the global financial system will be stronger? Given the change in focus, more regulation, as you put it, more supervision. And what about the unions? You know, you look at throughout Europe, you've got unionization. We may see more of that in the United States. Has that hurt business or helped it?
Well, I couldn't judge on the United States. We had a wonderful prime minister called Mrs. Thatcher, who put the unions in the correct measure of what they're doing. And on the whole, the relationship in the United Kingdom with the unions is very good. But that's a challenge for each country with its own problems. But I think what we've got to face up to is it's not just regulation. We've got to go back to basics and teach bankers and investment people, whether it's in hedge funds or whatever exists, that they've got to work within a prescribed limit. They can't just do what they want. What we've had for the last 10 to 15 years is unlimited attitude. We can make money. We can do anything we like. We just have tons of time to do what we want, without regarding the regulation or regarding the basics of how you run your business.
Evelyn, good to have you on the program. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
We so appreciate it. Sir Evelyn D. Rothschild joining us here at the NYC while you're traveling throughout the U.S. Thank you.